Welcome to this anointed message taught by Pastor Lynn Schall of Amazing Grace Fellowship. We believe your life will be enriched by hearing the word of truth, the reality of faith, and the message of the goodness of God. Here's Pastor Lynn.
We're going to spend a couple more weeks talking about grace because it really is amazing. So today we're just going to talk about how his grace was extended. And what you find is, it's interesting, if you do a word search in your software, or if you have an old Strong's Concordance or a Young's, something like that, do you remember the printed versions? I have a printed version of a Strong's Concordance, and they're about that thick. It has every word in the Bible that's there, and it's a great resource. Some of us that are over 50 are laughing because we still have them, but it is kind of nice to just use your search engine on your, in your Bible software. But if you type in grace, you're going to find that in the Old Testament, you just don't find out very much about it. However, I want to ask the question, was God's grace revealed to us in the Old Testament? Sure it was, wasn't it? In other words, it was, we could see. And here's how we're defining grace. We're defining grace for this study, anyhow, as more than just God's unmerited favor. We're defining it as his ability extended our way where we have no ability with the purpose of bringing change. Is that an okay version? Okay. And we didn't earn it. Turn to your neighbor and say, you didn't earn it. Amen. We can't buy it. There's no compelling reason for God to extend his grace our way, but aren't you thankful that he does? Amen. So let's read here in chapter 3, verse 1 of Ephesians. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you. Okay, a couple things I just want you to just see in the verses I'm going to read is how that grace is given. We're looking at the extension of God's grace to man. How that, verse 3, by revelation, he made known to me the mystery, as I already briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. So let's just stop a little bit and try to comment, I guess, as we go. So the grace of God is a free gift, freely given by God, okay? Mercy, his mercy is part of his motivation. Aren't you glad that God is merciful to man? There's nothing about us as human beings that have really demonstrated anything that says anything other than we're all guilty and we've all sinned, we've all fallen short of the glory of God. And if God really wanted to, God could just say, you know what? I tried. Right? I made it all available to you. I tried. You goofed again. And so you know what? I'm just kind of done with you guys. Aren't you glad that he's not ever going to do that? His mercy is part of the reason his grace is extended. But the thing is that it does something. Look what Paul says here. You've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you. In other words, in Paul's life, God dispensed some grace. Now that grace isn't just to have a warm, fuzzy feel. That grace, verse 3, did something. How that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I've already briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. In other words, the grace of God, his ability extended our way where we have none. Paul couldn't understand the mystery. Paul couldn't understand what it was all about all by himself. So that God's grace was dispensed, was given to him, was extended to him. And in that extension of God's grace, look what Paul did. Paul was able to reveal the mystery. God's grace is pretty powerful. God's grace, I believe, for the believer, God's grace is available at all times. It's just if we have, I don't know if sensitivity is the right word, but if we have the intuition to appropriate the grace of God in our lives. Let's continue on. which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. Oh, that's awesome. I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. In our vernacular, in a non-denominational, full gospel, charismatic, Protestant, evangelical church, we don't, that's a lot of stuff, isn't it? We don't commonly use and refer to things as, we don't put the word grace in front of things. We would tend to use the word gift. So-and-so is gifted, right, of the Lord. But here's the kicker, and that's true. But the gift that anybody has is because of the grace of God. Amen? So that maybe some of the other Christian traditions would tend to use, we would look at somebody in our circles and say, boy, they're really gifted. Other vernacular and maybe other circles, they would say, boy, the grace of God is evident in their life. Do you see what I'm saying? They're not exactly synonymous, but they're descriptive of the same thing. Now, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Let's go to verse 10. May he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you've sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. While you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. While, through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharing with them and all men. So, obviously, Paul's talking about how the Corinthian church was at sowing and giving, okay? Look, verse 14, and by their prayer for you, who long for you, because of the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. If we were to take the time this morning with however many of us are here, and we were to start asking for descriptors of grace, how many of you know, honestly, there wouldn't be enough semantics. And what I mean by semantics is meaning. There's not enough descriptive words that we could use that really could flesh out what grace does. Not just what grace is, but what grace does. Because that's the beauty. That's the amazing part of grace. It's not just an incredible thing in what it is, but it's really incredible in what it does. Okay? So here, Paul says that for the Corinthian church, the exceeding grace of God in you, who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you. I have a question for us. If people were to look at us and begin to describe our lives, would grace enter the vocabulary of their description of our lives? Boy, when I look at Christian X, man, do I ever see the grace of God? Do you think, for each of us individually, do you think grace would enter the description? And I don't know. It would be up to each one of us. Here's the thing. I want us to start thinking about grace being able to be seen, felt, touched. Do you understand what I'm saying? That we realize, I think, as opposed to just the word gift, in this room is some incredibly gifted people. In fact, we all are. But I just think it's important for us to maybe just adjust our word usage a little bit and really attribute it to where it should be attributed to. It's simply the grace of God in our lives. It's His grace. That's pretty incredible. It's just not a gift that He gave, but it's His grace. So His grace is His ability extended our way where we're lacking in ability. Amen? Because you know what? When you see a gifted person, almost anybody that recognizes they're gifted in whatever, honestly will say this in the quietness of their heart, I can't believe I can do what I do. Isn't that right? Why can we do what we can't do? Because of God's grace. It's His grace that's given in our lives. And I want us to just start to become aware of God's grace and attribute it where it should go. It's an indescribable gift. 2 Corinthians 8:1. Just go back a page. Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. At Macedonia. Look in verse 2, 3 and 4, 5, 6, 7. That in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of His liberality. We're going to dissect these first 7 verses because what you're going to find is when the grace of God is given and then the grace of God is received and then the grace of God is walked in, you're going to find that this description in these first 7 verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, there's some incredible truth about God's grace in our lives that really, when you begin to dissect it, it kind of just drops your jaw. It's an indescribable gift. Now go over to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. How many people in here would consider yourself a Christian? Raise your hand. Okay, the rest of you, we're going to have a great altar call. Ephesians 2. Let's just start in verse 1. And you, He made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. That's every human being until Jesus Christ enters their life. In which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also, we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, let's stop right there. It is the mercy and the loving kindness of God that is the reason He extends His grace to us. Isn't that right? It's His loving kindness and His mercy that is the reason for Him to extend grace to every man, woman, boy, and girl. Okay? Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. Look at what it says in parentheses. By grace. Everybody say grace. By grace you have been saved and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches, look, of His grace in His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Look at this. The exceeding riches of His grace. Let me tell you what. Grace is not one-dimensional. Grace isn't just for salvation. Amen? The grace of God is also for every day that we live in life, utilizing the gifts of God's grace that He gives us in whatever area it is. The grace of God, if you could think of it this way, ladies or men, you might have a diamond on. And I don't, I have magic marker. If you look at a diamond, especially under a magnifying glass, you're going to find that a diamond has what's called facets, right? By the way, just trivial, you'll never find an odd number of facets on a diamond. It's always an even number. But you'll have all these facets. So picture grace being a diamond, okay? And grace is not one-dimensional. There's not just, oh, thank God for His saving grace. Listen, if that's all there was to God's grace, I'm telling you, I would still be way thankful. Isn't that right? I would be way thankful that I'm saved. But grace is far more than that. You can enter into the exceeding riches of His grace, which can enable us, His ability extended our way where we have none, that then has the potential to bring change. We can enter into the grace of God in many different areas so that we can accomplish for Him things that need to be accomplished here on this earth. Because listen, God works through man to touch this world. Isn't that right? God wants to accomplish His purpose on this earth. And here's the wonderful thing. He wants to use you and I to do it. So listen, for that to happen, there's no way that we can do it by ourselves, by our strength, by our wisdom, by our smarts, by our whatever. We have got to enter into and stand in His grace. For by grace, everybody say by grace. By grace, you've been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Grace is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. Because we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I made the statement on Wednesday night, and I'll make it this morning. I've actually made the statement this morning is that you can't earn God's grace. You can't, it's a free gift. We can't work our way into God's grace. And now all of a sudden, Paul says in verse 11, for we are created in Christ Jesus for good works. So how does that fit? Well, listen, we can't save ourselves. But if we'll receive the grace of God, He'll do something in us that we can't do. He'll make us a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. And listen, once we are saved, works really become an issue. Okay, this is going over well. The amens are just blowing me away here. Am I right? Once we're saved, how many of you know our works had better change? In fact, here's what you're going to find. Our works as a believer is what allows others to see His grace. Now that's kind of a mind twister, isn't it? Our works is what allows others to see His grace in our lives. Let me ask you a question. How else are they going to see it? Because they can't look at our heart. Right? They can't look at our heart and see this picture of our heart. Maybe, you know, I'm just creating a scenario here. Surrounded by the grace of God, but our works don't line. The world sees the grace of God by the works that a Christian walks out. Amen. Thank you. Think about it. That's how you see the grace of God. When I see a Rob up here singing, or any of these people up here singing, utilizing their gifts, when I hear a Chris play the piano, probably just most of us think about gift, but you know what I think of? Because I've trained myself to change it from just gift. When I see a Chris up there playing the piano so beautifully, I see the grace of God that's been extended in his life. And I think, wow, there's a bunch of graceful people up here. Amen? To where somebody could ask, where did you get that ability to play like that? It's just the grace of God. Amen? Let me give you another analogy, and we're going to close. It's 23 minutes. Holy smoke. We'll go for just a bit longer here. I want to end with this analogy. How many of you have ever flown on a jet? By the way, did you hear about the big fluff that United Airlines had? They had a goof in their computer system. Many people bought tickets for $0. And they're going to honor them. $0. The only thing they have to pay is the security tax, which is 10 bucks a flight. And it's like, where was I? And they've decided to honor all those tickets that people bought online for $0. Isn't that just wild? Okay, so what do you have to do to fly on a commercial airliner? You had to buy a ticket. Let me ask you a question. Is that ticket the flight? It isn't. It gives you the right to fly on that airline in that seat. Are you with me so far? Grace is the airline. Okay? Grace is the actual airplane that will get you from point A to point B. Okay? In salvation, grace is what will get you from dead in your trespasses and sins to made alive in Christ Jesus, to where you become a new creation in Christ Jesus. And that airline will get a person there every time, listen, every time somebody buys a ticket. Okay? Grace will cause a person that can't come up with creativity or whatever on their own. And there's an airliner that will take a person from non-gifted musically to gifted musically, and it will take them from point A to point B. But there's something that has to happen, you know, with the exception of owning the airline. And we don't, because it's not ours, right? God owns the airliner. God owns all this fleet of airplanes. Okay? And the only way you can get on the airplane is to buy a ticket. Okay? But then it's not just buying a ticket. You actually have to show up. Isn't that right? So you have to do some things. You have to be a bit proactive. In other words, I can't go online to Delta Airlines. That's what services Twin Falls. I can't go online to Delta Airlines, purchase a ticket, and then just sit at 2549 East 3800 North, and then get mad when I've missed my flight and said, well, I bought the ticket. What are they going to tell me? Well, what did you do after you bought the ticket? You got to move. You got to get to where the airplane is. You see, faith is the ticket. You can't fly on an airliner without a ticket. You can't. You can't walk up to the ticket counter and just go, well, aren't I pretty? Don't I look good? Boy, aren't I wise? I know a lot. I ought to be, what are they going to say? Sir, you're not getting on this airline without a ticket. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because the just shall live by faith. Everything in God is received by faith. God has this fleet of airplanes that sit idle all the time because we don't go out and buy the ticket, or we buy the ticket and don't show up. Isn't that right? In fact, airliners, Dorette's sister was a stewardess for United for 25 plus years, I think. It will blow your mind how many people never show up after they've bought a ticket. Did you know they overbook airplanes, most of them, by 30%? As close to 30% of people just never show up. Makes no sense to me. But anyhow, that's neither here nor there. So, Pastor, how do I buy the ticket? Your source for the ticket is right here. It's right here. In fact, this is the only place that produces tickets to step into God's grace. Right? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So here's your online source. This is your Travelocity. This is your Hotel.com. This is your whatever. Expedia. Right here. You can't go to another book. You can't go to another site, listen, and fly on God's airplanes. His airplanes dispense their seats from this book right here. This is the only place you can go to get it. Amen? Is that a decent analogy? So after you buy the ticket, how many of you know faith is active? Faith is not passive. So just as it's absurd to buy an airline ticket and then not show up, it's just as absurd for a Christian to receive the grace of God at salvation and never have any accompanying works to back it up, to show that they're on the airplane. Amen? I see your wheels turning. You can think about this in all of the many facets, the exceeding riches of God's grace. Listen, His airplanes can fly you to all of the destinations that He's planned for your life. How many destinations are you going to fly to in your lifetime? There's an incredible travel itinerary that God has for every person in this room. It's incredible. Amen? But there's many of us that will not go very far. Amen? So, I'll leave you with those thoughts to think about. The airplane is His grace. Faith is the ticket. And we have to show up once we peruse the catalog and build ourselves up, right? Get a hold of it, meditate on it, and then we're ready to buy the ticket. Once we buy the ticket, don't just think it's over with. We still have to show up, sit down on the airplane, and fly to that destination. Amen?
Thank you for listening to this podcast by Pastor Lynn Schall of Amazing Grace Fellowship, Twin Falls, Idaho. We hope this teaching has inspired you with the word of truth, the reality of faith, and the message of the goodness of God.